Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
This is Red Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at the New York theatrical release of If the Dancer Dances. And today we are here with the filmmakers, Maya Wexler and Lisa Friedman. Good morning and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning.
Is this movie part of the celebration of the 100th birthday of the legendary choreographer Mercer Cunningham? Because the birthday was actually 2 days ago.
The film is, yes, definitely a part of the centennial celebration, and we are honored and delighted to be an event within the centennial. We did not make the film under the auspices of anything official. This was really an independently produced production.
So how this movie started? How this project started?
This is Lise speaking. Maya and I were neighbors in Brooklyn, and we started talking about the fact that the company was closing shortly after Merce died, and began a conversation about the inevitability of work perhaps dying with a choreographer, and the fact that when you go to a museum, for example, and you can see the work of an artist on the walls, you can't do the same for choreography. And with Merce's 60 years of choreography, you know, how is it going to live on without the choreographer being present? So we had this conversation. We started this conversation about that idea and began to realize that people didn't really understand how ephemeral an art dance is, and eventually realized that we had perhaps the beginnings of a film, the idea for a film, and went to the trust and asked them what works were being licensed. And at that point, we really didn't know what was going on in terms of works that were about to be produced by other companies. And we learned at the time that Stephen Petronio had just begun his Bloodlines project and had just licensed Rainforest. So it was really fortuitous timing for us, and that's how we began. And we went into the studio at the very beginning and captured the casting and all the way through the dancers learning the part and up to the Joyce and beyond.
If a dancer dances, capture the soul of Merce Cunningham, still alive in the city in some way, and inspiring in so many ways. Can you talk about this aspect of the movie?
I think that aspect of the film is especially evident in the three former members of the Merce Cunningham Dance Company that come into the studio to pass the work on to the new company. And I think that their incredible integrity, their hard work, and their devotion to bringing this work to new generations is what fills the film. And it's quite apparent in the studio that that they are drawing upon, you know, years of presence in the studio with him, and their understanding within their bodies and within their spirits what Merce was trying to do in this piece, in Rainforest specifically, and this is what fills the film. It's the transmission of all of those things. Obviously, the movement. It's all in the movement, but there's more to it than that, and that's why we feel so much of Merce. Additionally, as you know, there's this fantastic archival footage in the film, the black and white footage, which was shot in 1967. And there's no escaping feeling viscerally the choreographer in that footage and his dancers at the time, which also informs us and gives us the sense that Merce is present in the film.
It is very complicated to shoot the dancers. I'm talking with the director now. And how did you work with them, in particular, while they are working on such a difficult piece?
Well, honestly, Stephen Petronio says now that they became so familiar with us and so accustomed to having the camera in the studio that they hardly noticed our presence as the filming went on. And that's a great compliment, because what Lisa and I were trying to accomplish is capturing a very intimate process, a very tactile process in an intimate setting. And we needed to be as close as we could with the cameras to the dancers and to the stagers, but we also needed to stay out of their way so that we didn't interfere with the work itself. And I know that that's the challenge for many documentary films, that you want to be in the room, but at the same time, you want to be a fly on the wall. And so we had to balance those two things to capture the dance.
Yes, yeah. And in addition, is even more complicated for dancing, because there is like so many possibility, but you have also all these mirror in the room. So that is like a really...
So honestly, technically, we had a wonderful... there was a wonderful issue with the studio door. The entire wall was mirrors. The studio door was also a mirror, but it was at an angle. And so if you put yourself right in front of the studio door and shot into the mirrors, you could not see the camera because the door was at an angle. So it did not reflect the camera back. So we often stood at that point in order to be able to shoot into the mirror without being seen.
Mercer Cunningham was a man of few words and few explanations to his dancers. Nobody would ever ask anything to him. After working with all these dancers and listening to their stories, is there anything that you would like to ask to Mercer?
I just wanted to spell that a little bit. I mean, Mercer was all about the work in the studio. There's a lot of dogma around Merce, a lot of ideas about Merce not giving any insight into the work. And honestly, when you're a dancer in the room with Merce, you are interested in the work in front of you and in the movement itself. And you're not really looking for him to explain it. You're really looking to understand how to embody it, how to learn it and embody it. I think that there's no one way to be around a choreographer. Every choreographer has a different way of working with his or her dancers. Merce always came into the studio very prepared, and there was never a lag between him. You know, he would never stand around saying, you know, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. He was also very inquisitive and very interested to see what dancers could bring to the work. He might say something to you like, what if you tried this, or could you try that? What would happen if you did this? So, it was a very... active environment in the studio. He didn't ask us our opinion about the movement. That's not what we were there for. We were there to be instruments for him, to be elements in his choreography. So I always felt that it was a very full experience. I never felt like he was withholding.
How did you choose which old footage to add to the movie? And I guess there is so much material. Where did you find it?
We had the great good fortune in this film to have two pieces of archival footage that were exceptional. The first is D.A. Pennebaker's film of the original, of the premiere of Rainforest in 1968 that was shot in Buffalo, New York. It is a gorgeous piece of footage. It was a multi-camera shoot. The quality of the film is exquisite. That was a wonderful representation of Rainforest for us. So that is a primary piece of footage that we use in the film. Additionally, we discovered a wonderful film that had been shot by a production by Hamburg Television in 1967 when they came to the Cunningham studio to make a documentary about Merce. And Merce happened to be teaching at the time Scramble. And I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, Merce was, it's the black and white footage in the film, and Merce is teaching his dancers the piece called Scramble. And it's wonderful because in counterpoint to the Pennebaker, first of all, it's black and white. Mm-hmm. And second of all, it's in the studio. So we're seeing the process of the dancers learning, and we're getting a little bit of exposure to how the dancers are responding to the movement and responding to Merce. So it's a very personal look at the process, and it's wonderful to have that in the mix with our capturing of the process.
Absolutely. Maggie Harper, who used to dance with Merce, said, the real beauty of transmission takes place maybe after we have left. Can you expand about this? Because I find it so like poetic and so moving.
She is wonderful. Meg is so wise and has such wonderful presence in our film, and was such a great person to have in the room and wonderful for the Petronio dancers, because she is what Maya always calls this beautiful expression. She's a holder of history. So she's wonderful, a wonderful character. And she is making the point that the process of transmission, the process of a dancer achieving the sense of ownership that every dancer wants to have when learning and performing a part, takes time. It's not simply a matter of learning the steps and bang, you're on stage and everything is great. You might be on stage for two or three or four months before you start to really feel that that part is yours, before you really embody it, and before you can become fully expressive as a dancer within that role. So she's making the point that they're there to teach the steps, they're there to coach, they're there to give the work its blessing, but that she's saying the beauty of the transmission, the actual embodying of the movement, happens probably long after they've left, the stages have left.
If the dancer dances, we open theatrically in New York on Friday, April 26th, and in Los Angeles on Friday, May 3rd, with a national release to follow. Thanks to Maya Wexler and Liz Friedman for being with us today from the New York premiere of If Dancer Dances. I'm Samantha Sartori, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.